Welcome back again to BushidoCast. We're here to talk with our guest, Ben, and about his experiences with his Minamoto clan at a recent tournament. So, thanks very much for coming along.
Thank you very much for having me.
Not a problem. And yep. Craig, you're here as well.
Yep. Great to be on. Great to have Ben on.
Great to hear you.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the event?
Yeah, so the event that I went to is CanCon. It's held in Australia's capital in Canberra, and it's CanCon is basically our largest wargaming / board gaming sort of event. It's sort of like an Adepticon, and where there are retailers there, but it's mainly focused on the tournaments and the event. They also hold painting competitions. Pretty much every gaming system you can think of, like from anywhere from like 40K to Age of Sigma to even Bushido. I believe also they were holding like Bolt Action, a bunch of different sort of war games, a bunch of games that I've actually never heard of myself. There was a bunch of 10, 15 mil Napoleonic sort of things. Okay. I've never seen in my life, but the terrain was amazing to look at. But yeah, it's our largest gaming and board gaming convention.
Fantastic. And obviously we know you did very well there. So
Not to bury the lead, I guess. We may as well say you placed first, right?
I was going to go into that. I came first. I'm sorry. Yeah. I won the event, and I had a lot of fun. The tournament organizers and the convention organizers were really good to deal with. Unfortunately, just due to the current climate, there was a lot of cancellations for a lot of the events. Not only did that affect Bushido, but that affected like other gaming tournaments, like Age of Sigma was heavily affected, and I believe Infinity itself was cancelled. It was good to see everybody there, and everybody was acting safe, not only for themselves but for their families, which was really good to see. Everyone was wearing masks. Everyone was staying the 1.5 meters away. It was really, really good to for everyone, even in this sort of situation, to get out and have some games and have a bit of fun. I placed first with my Minamoto, and I took the finest steel theme, because I myself love the samurai models out of the Minamoto models.
Yeah, they're definitely the iconic part of the clan, aren't they?
I think they're the strongest part, honest. But yeah. Do you want to go through the list that I took?
Please do.
Yeah, sure. So I started off with Yuji. I know he's a bit of a... There's some people who like him and some people who don't like him, think he's overcosted, but I really do like using him. I find him very reliable. The fact that he's got Bear Stands alone, plus already he has Indomitable 1, is really, really useful, especially when you're facing a large swarm of monks or monkeys or anything like that. I took him just because of that mighty blow, because in my sort of gaming meta, and I didn't really know what I was going to come across in this event, just the fact that, he can have strong, and also he is a really powerful, big hitter with Bear's Fury, giving him, he gets powerful attack 0, and then he's already got plus 2 strength on his Tetsubo. Yeah. That's 5 wow. damage. Ooh. Yeah, oh, wow. It's massive. Strong. Yeah, it's really, wow. really strong.
Yeah,
that's good. And you get increased strength through the theme, though. That probably doesn't come up to you often.
Yeah, you're probably all right as it is.
So yeah, I can go one time. I can go, I'm going to give him also, better combat, and also with the theme. The theme gives me once per game at the starting phase, all friendly Minamoto samurai can do, when they cause damage, can do stun markers. So not only is he going to do this massive hit, but he can also pack on stun markers as well. He gets the plus 1 strength for when friendly models are taken out. So yeah, he could really go to damage 6, which is pretty good. Just the fact that also he's got 4 attack. He's got some, just the taking for the mighty and the four armor, I should say, you know, is one of the reasons I really do find him reliable. I usually make him my Vin because, you know, he's quite quite strong, like of a fighter. And plus, as I said, the armor four, which, I mean, Minamoto are notorious for the armor, and, you know, I know people get upset with it, but, like, it's just so good to have. So the other samurai, so basically I took the three boys. So my other samurai was Nico. Now, yeah, if I was to replace Yuji with anyone in any other sort of list, it would always be Nico, because he's just that combo attack for savage beating for two key. His split attack is just, yeah, he can just do some massive damage.
Yeah, I guess I always find it nice to have combo attack case come against anything with durable or and split attack actually sounds like he's got a big crowd control ability as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, I think I believe it was from like your podcast with one of the guys talking about the Bushido guys. They were talking about how they call it, what was it, Nico Rocket or Slingshot or something?
Oh yeah.
Where they rotated him. Yeah, I've from your podcast, I learned that.
Oh, yeah. It's very good at getting support characters, actually. That's
I've used
that to great effect. One of our local players just kept getting into our back lines with that sort of stuff. So, pretty good. I think it was Vince, you two guys. So, that's pretty cool. So, you've got one samurai who hits like really hard, and then another samurai who hits quite hard, but and a lot of times. So you've got sort of
and Nico is good for crowd control, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So he can take out, you know, like multiple targets if I needed to as well. Plus also the fact that he can remove dodge. So if you've got like a Master Akari or, you know, that little raccoon guy, you're like, nah, guess what you're not doing today?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I found that quite helpful as well. I actually did a bunch of damage, I think it was, to Master Akari and in a game, and that terrified my opponent because they're like, oh wow, you know, he's pretty hurt here, so he like ran him off and did something else.
That doesn't normally happen. No one normally gets a blow on him, does
If you get lucky. Well, actually my to be fair, my damage roll was horrible, but it did scare him. He was just like, oh god, I'm backpedal now, and then he did dash and bolted.
Yeah,
he was almost mine.
he's definitely kind of tips. So, like, he's been pretty good at getting through some like Kahan in Jung. So that they might quite heavily. Some of them rely, like Sho relies heavily on his dodge. So just removing that sort of does really take down the effectiveness. And yeah, he's a really good fighter anyway. So definitely puts you back against the wall.
Yeah, definitely. I also, his unique effect, Bear Supremacy, simple Bear Supremacy, just the, you know, being able to do sweep attack at full damage. Like, I mean, if you can make an opponent prone, you're going to wail on them the next turn. And obviously, you know, the sweep attack with full damage is always really, really good. So then the next character, I mean, obviously he's still also a melee four. So he's just on par with Yuji. And in fact, in my original list that I submitted, I gave him Obstinate Bear to give him plus one Indomitable as well. I thought to myself, I could use that one rice somewhere else. And I took something else, which I'll mention later.
Okay.
We'll go into Ryu, the third. And, you know, probably, I love Yuji, but Ryu, I think, has a massive place in my heart for. Just for his pure reliability, just like the fact that, you know, I mean, okay, he's not the hero that he used to be. Yeah, okay, I get it with the lore. You know, I mean, he's the cheaper of the three samurai. He's got three attack. He's only got three armor. But the fact that he's got durable once he hits four wounds, and the fact that he's got immovable, just he's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Are you activating Bear's resilience early with him, or are you like...
Yeah, so in my first game against Ghost, I did, because I got into combat with Ghost, and I was like, I'm going to play Resilience, because and I went all-out attack, and I didn't get to strike first, so I was with Ghost got to go first, and then I I basically said, yeah, like, we'll, I'm going to go out all out attack on you. Didn't have much key. And then I just went bare resilience. I'm like, I'm durable. And Ghost took a big, massive punch to the face and was like, you know, basically control altered, deleted.
Oh, wow. Which,
yeah. So, and as we all know, Ghost is terrifying. Every time I see him, I get a little bit worried. But, you know, Ryan, my opponent, was like, oh, well, that, you know, that foiled my plan. And he seemed to struggle from there. Brutal with Cleave makes him a real force to reckon, like, you know, to be reckoned with. Like, a lot of people forget about it. Also, Slam Attack helped me in game two against some monks, just to push him out of the ring. So that helped. He would be my like go to. Like, I would always be like, okay, I'm taking Ryu and who else? Like,
okay.
Yeah, for 17 Russ, he's just amazing. In my list, I did give him absolute loyalty because he doesn't have the resistance of, sorry, he doesn't have resistance to like Nico and Yuji have. So in my sort of meta, he's, which there's a lot of Ito players and Silver Moon players, and they play a lot of controlling.
Yeah.
The temple, the guy on the turtle, I can't remember his name, and how he can like goes, you sit there and contemplate life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And because Minamoto, you know, I mean, my weakness is my lack of movement. Like, it's going to take me a while to get to a position, and I don't like not being able to continue that run. So I take absolute loyalty with him, so he's just immune to control. Made him 18 rice,
I guess his lack of resistance is normally it's kind of the weak point you can sometimes get him on.
It's definitely it's the kink in his armor. So and it's happened to me a few times where like someone's gone, like Mitsui from Ito basically goes, you're controlled. And he just like walked all the way back from like a zone of control. I'm like, oh,
yeah, I guess that's one of the
just got him there.
Yeah, it's like one of the only ways to get him out of the zone, I guess, as well. Because
Because of immovable, like, yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to go prone. So like, you basically, he has to choose to leave that zone of control.
I've always found that immovable has massive impact on the game whenever I seem to play against him. Like, I'll have Ryujin or something come on, tied away everyone away, and he just,
he stands there.
Ryujin scares me. I'm not going to lie. I've not come across him yet, but I think when I do, I'll basically be like, do you mind if I take my 25 rice bear? It makes him just so reliable, and it's just like he's going to be there and just something, you know, hard to deal with. Then I took a blacksmith. I took Haru, and the reason why I took him is purely because of like cleansing flame. Because I, as I mentioned, I face a lot of control. I also face a lot of poison. So just being able to get rid of that with cleansing flame is just amazing. I mean, and also the weighted Tetsubo is pretty cool. So basically, first turn, I basically go here, Yuji, or here, a couple of times, I gave it to Nico. I was like, you got the weighted Tetsubo, do some damage. So that weighted Tetsubo gives him in melee Pierce 2, for those who don't know. One of his sort of like key feats is he can do specialist knowledge and hand it off to a samurai or an Ashugaru. Haru's not, also, the reason why I took him is to give me access to Fire Kami.
Yeah.
Look, he's just melee too. He's no superstar, but he's there to push buttons and
push buttons, And so that's what I was thinking when I looked at your list, because you got two models that can't do the scenario actions and quite expensive models that don't want to necessarily do it. So he's cheap enough to be able to be a scenario runner as well.
I do like Minamoto Kaija, because he can make the Fire Kami so much more potent, and also the dedicated blade terrifies people with that unblockable too. if you're facing the duel, the person you've picked out to have the duel with. But I don't know. I just thought, I don't know what I'm going to be facing. And Haru's sort of like an all rounder. Like, he'll help. As we said, he can do the influence on on objectives while the big boys are fighting, and he can he can heal them. He can remove any tokens, that are potentially affecting them. And also he can make one better in combat. So I thought to myself, look, because I don't know what I'm going to be facing, he would just sort of help more, than the other blacksmith or blacksmiths. That will lead us into, seeing as you said, we've got two models who can't do scenario actions. I took Tetsu, because why wouldn't you take a bear? Because they're amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't have the rice to do. In fact, I didn't have the rice, or I didn't have the model to take the new 25-point big boy. But I took Tetsu he's fun to have. Like, there's nothing more fun than like throwing animals at things.
Pretty good profile, I think. I think he gets a bit of sometimes he gets a bit of a bad rap, but like our local player swears by him, and like I always found him quite difficult to deal with.
Yeah, I've only really been able to deal with him at range, to be honest. Once he's in combat, he's really good.
Yeah, I find that people sort of see him coming towards him and they go, quick, shoot it. But I mean, his toughness one and his armor sort of does help. But you're right. When he's in combat, that bite profile is really, really good. Brutal one, you can do powerful attack or you can do slam attack for one dice. And you got plus two strength, already, which is really, really good. And then obviously his unique effect, Bear Ferocity, giving stun markers as well, which just helps you and out as well. If he charges, he makes the opponent prone, which I always try to line up a charge for turn two, because I took the event Blizzard. So in turn one, obviously everyone's got range defense and is slow. So him being immune to Blizzard just helps and allows me to sort of set up a potential charge or like basically move him to a position where I'm like, okay, this is going to be a big threat coming, and he can sort of like just wait. Also, a lot of people forget as well that he's got light-footed, so he can just move through cover. So I find that a lot of people go like, oh, he's a big bear. Oh, wait, he can move through cover? And you're like, it's quite good.
And that's really important with the player-placed terrain, that people are going to try and block you, your routes with difficult terrain and stuff like that. To have a big bear that can just walk through it happily is amazing.
I generally find with that part, like as a Minamoto player, and because I'm trying to, I've got such slow movement and terrain hinders my movement, I'm always saying when there's the option to not place anymore, I always say no.
Yeah.
And I always find my opponent will also place another terrain piece, like just because they know my weakness.
Yeah. And that's why he's really helpful for that mobility. I've always seen him do quite well. I mean, the fear six is really quite high. It's quite a scary bear. That can kind of really seems to always come into play anyway when I face him. But that and the prone means you get some good debuffs on people. Perform quite well in combat. So
Your whole army can put a lot of like debuffs with prones and stuns and a bit of fear as well.
I think he gets quite a lot out of the finest steel as well, because I'm right in thinking he can benefit from the durable. He's more likely to be targeted.
Finest steel gives me, finest steel gives me durable for the first. Also, until a Minamoto model has taken a wound. Okay. So like that could potentially be turn three. Depending on who you're facing. If you're not facing anyone with range, turn three, you're pretty much durable. But I do tend to find that people target the Kami because of that that theme. Like I'll just aim at the little tiny Kami and just do some damage to it because he's durable anyway. And you're like, he's got only two. I do have an access to a lot of stun. Like Nico's got stun zero. Stun attack zero, and Yuji has stun attack one. I already have access to, to do a lot of stun markers to people, which benefits me. So yeah, but I mean, also benefits all my other models as well.
Yeah, I've had multiple stun markers, and it's annoying. You only get rid of one at the end of the turn, so you can.
Yeah, it's not like
permanently stunned against these guys once they do their once a game thing as well. You could just kind of
you can really lay the hurt down really quick if you can just start stacking those stun markers, and yeah, you'll find people trying to get rid of them in sort of different ways. We mentioned the Fire Kami, so yeah, that's you know, the other thing that I took. I mainly took him just to have some range because I have none.
Yep.
in my list, and just being able to throw fireballs is amazing. And you know, Fire Kami are quite good. And just the fact also that he's movement 6 and he also has Cloud Walk just helps me get to a position where I need to and set up, you know, fireballs. Which is quite good. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't really put him into combat much. He's mainly just supposed to float around, you know, in base to base contact. Go, okay, this turn you've got +1 strength, and you've also got fire on your melee weapon. That's mainly what he sort of is supposed to be doing. And there's nothing more terrifying than a bear charging at you with +1 strength and fire. Yeah, I've managed to pull that off a couple of times, and that's makes Tetsu even it's like, scarier.
Yeah.
He would get +5 on the damage roll with his base strength plus the fire plus the charge.
Yeah.
So you're quite likely to max out damage. That's nice.
So there's been a couple of times where I've run them up as a pair because Tetsu is immune to slow first turn, so he'll run up into a position, and the Fire Kami is just going to like follow. And then, yeah, you can get that when, as I mentioned, I set up that charge and then I can, yeah, get that fire damage, which also does a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
Might as well go into the events. I took Hasty Bear because you, as a Minamoto player with lots of special unique abilities, you would always take it. So it's like an auto-occlude in Finest Steel, I think, as well as an auto-occlude is I took 2 just the scratches because you would always take them.
Yeah.
Because they're amazing. Pretty handy. The fact that you can half the enemy damage. So if you are going to take a big hit, the fact that you can go, no, I'm going to half that damage. Like, and it's only been a couple of times like that's come up, but like it has saved. In fact, it's helped Ryo out a lot and made him a lot more, even more, like a pain in the butt to remove. So I'd always take 2 of those as a Minamoto player. I mentioned Blizzard. That's the other event that I took. Instead of Obstinate Bear on Nico, I took Rice Ball Barricade because for 1 rice, that the fact that it's a 50 mil base that I can just place wherever I want and hinder like your opponent's movement, it's so good.
I think most tournament lists will probably have it. It's just hard not to take.
Yeah. In fact, every game that I played with it, so all 3 games, each of my opponents was like, wow, that's actually really, really good. And I was just like, yeah, it's an auto-occlude. For 1 rice, it's amazing.
How are you kind of using it? Are you sort of putting it in zones or just making...
I put it... So when I was playing the ninjas and we were playing the mission where we had to do the what was the mission for ninjas? It was Seigoryu. So I placed that sort of in front of on an objective that like so that way if they had to come to go into contact with it, they would have to go around it. Whereas when I was playing the Ryodo against the temple, my temple opponent, I placed that sort of between 2 trees to be able to sort of hinder his movement a bit more. If he was trying to go into one of the zones, I was coming towards my closest one, which would give him more scoring points. And when I played Ozatsu against the Ronin faction, Blood Brothers. I put that again in a tree line in towards his deployment zone, which basically made him sort of the way that the Blood Brothers work is they sort of run around in sort of like a bit of a triangle sort of pattern, you know, getting all the buffs from each other. That sort of hindered his movement quite significantly. So for one turn, they weren't able to sort of like stay in base-to-base contact, which I sort of try to pounce on as much as possible, just to make that a problem, because I've versed Blood Brothers before, and you know, if they can start getting those, they can start getting those additional activations and you know, bonuses to combat, they become really, really scary, even for me.
Yeah, no, they're really good fighters, aren't they? And like with the abilities.
I'm horrible with their names, but the one that's drawing the sword, and he's got the reach. She's a fantastic model. I love that model and I actually went out and bought it after that game.
Right.
But he's done some damage to me.
Yeah, and he's probably one of the best melee models in the game. I would argue.
100%. He's definitely
crazy for 16 rice. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, definitely Rice Bale Barricades is a great inclusion then. It's like hard to go wrong with that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
like that card beats you, to be honest. It's like that card can win you the game. And it's like,
if you put it in the right spot, it can hinder your opponent as much as possible. And that's all I was using it as, is basically I want this thing to annoy my opponent, or you know, hinder their movement so they couldn't get to that, you know, so it slowed them down as slow as I am. So that's what I basically tried to do.
Cool. Yeah. So I guess we touched on a bit on the games there, but yeah, we can find out a bit more about how each of those went.
Yeah. So my first game went against the Ninjas. It was obviously, I won that. I won that 0-1 point. I find if you kill your opponent quick enough, they can't do scenario actions. So you try to do as much damage to them as possible. It was obviously, you know, slow sort of movement because of Blizzard first turn. You know, everyone was sort of, I had headed to like my furthest right objective. We both had a hidden Vim. Mine was Yuji, and his was the Bakemono Ninja. I can't remember his name.
Hersuna.
It turns out his was that one.
Insignificant.
What's that, Craig?
I thought Vims couldn't be insignificant.
I'd have to check.
Don't know. Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That means Ryan cheated.
we can check that.
Yeah, I've got a funny feeling you're right there. But hey, look, I mean, I guess it was my fault for not pulling him up on that. I put Yuji as my Vim, and I sort of wanted him to help out in combat and try to gain sort of activations as much as possible. He had the Grandmaster of the ninjas, the guy with the bow staff. What's his name?
Axiom.
Axiom, that's it, yeah. He had him. That guy is really, really tough. Even for a samurai, like I was struggling to take out Axiom, and just the fact that he has the ability where he can go, I'm going to pick, you know, one of my fellow students' ability and do that as well. That became sort of a hindrance for me. The middle objective and the furthest my furthest left objective was basically constantly squabbling over between him and Nico. I tried throwing the bear in there too a couple of times just to sort of like hinder him and just hold him up. Then at one time he just sort of like left combat, you know, I think he took ghost ability, and then he sort of like went in to sort of influence that. But the scoring came down to whose Vim could be, you know, closest to the enemy. And I got Yuji right up onto his deployment line. So I ran him like a couple of turns right at the end. And I just secured the objectives with Ryu and Nico, and just sort of like held there and be like, yeah, if you want to take this objective, you know, you're going to have to fight me. He took the other Ronin ninja. What's her name? Batsu. Is it Batsu? I'm looking too.
Biku,
Biku. Yeah, sorry, Biku. Yeah, Biku. That's right. Her Reign of Steel. That was really devastating for a couple of turns. And the fact that she can get poisoned due to like markers and his events. I think Yuji got a bit of damage on him at one point. I was like, look, he's my Vim. I need to, you know, jump out of here and I need to start heading towards that objective. So that's what, you know, I ended up doing. In fact, he saw what I was doing. He's like, oh, why is Yuji running away from a potential combat? Oh, and he sort of figured it out. And then all of a sudden, his turns out, you know, his illegal Vim was running towards my deployment as well with a bear chasing behind him.
Comedy sketch that.
Yeah, I got a really cool photo of him like doing that, and I thought to myself, oh, that's great. And that's cool. So that was a bit of fun. Ryan was a really good opponent. He really down to earth. He has a lot of experience with ninjas as well. So I actually managed to like get some tips off him because a mate of mine's trying to start the ninja clan as well, as you know, he wants to join Bushido, and he's like, oh, he's really intrigued with that. So I got some ideas from him, and I've passed them on to my mate Morgan. So that was really cool. Game two was probably the toughest game I played, because I played against a really experienced sort of a player. Mateo was his name. We played Ryodu. So it ended up being, so Temple had one point to my two. And it basically came down to, in the center objective, who had the most points. And if it wasn't for Yuji coming in with a push attack and pushing Master Po, that 1 inch that made half of his base, you know, hit the ring of the sumo, the 4 inches, it would have been a draw. He would have won that, actually. Master Po's 25 rice to Yuji's 20. So, yeah, it was a really good game. He had a silverback that was, you know, that managed to sort of like do a lot of damage onto Ryu. Managed to get him up to four wounds, and I was like, yeah, cool. All right, Ryu's ability is activated. That's Ryu's he was on the far left right ring. And he's immovable. He was like, I'm not going anywhere. So he just stayed there the whole time, which was probably really hard for Mateo to like overcome. And then obviously a bear running around. I think he managed to set fire to the bear and then I sort of charged into combat and claimed a ring to sort of tie it up. And then at the end of the turn, Tetsu died. And it was a choice of, do I pat out the fire or do I lose this turn? And it was really difficult for me to make that choice. Because you know I love Tetsu and I'm not a fan of animal cruelty. So that was a real clincher right there to make that difficult choice, and you know, unfortunately, but yeah, he got it. But he took two Fire Kami, and I had only really ever played with one. Two Fire Kami are really, really tough to deal with.
Yeah, they are.
I thought one was bad.
Yeah, I can't say Hot Topic at the moment, but it sounds like a bad joke. The person that won the Grand Masters used two Fire Kami, and they seem to be quite getting a lot of attention at the moment.
The guy who came second.
And he's Al. Al is also a fellow Minamoto player, isn't he? Must be a horrible guy.
Those Fire Kami. He seems like a quite a nice guy, unfortunately.
I'm taking a mic. It's all good.
Winning and those Fire Kami.
Taking two Fire Kami and having to like basically, I threw Nico at one of them and I combo attacked it till it died. And then And then at the end, after it killed Tetsu, I was like, yeah, you need to be gone. and I, you know, put another Kami, another combat into him. But Nico basically ran up onto the ring that would give me 3 points, so he stayed right there. So it was a back and forth sort of game. It was also my fault, I think, that I forgot the scoring turns, so I foolishly got into combat to take out something when I really should have just stayed put, and I sort of like was like, oh crud, here we go, like it was 1-0, and I was like, oh god, I gotta start playing the game, not being like a shark in, you know, in the water and sensing blood. I was like, I got to start playing the game and get my head on straight.
Yeah.
But
that's normally how I play half the Red Sun. Just end up losing the scenario.
But when that red mist falls. So Mateo, I can't speak highly enough of him. He's a really tough opponent. And every game we've played, like we've played twice now in two different tournaments. It's always been tough, like, because he's a really, really he's a really powerful and tactful mind. Like he's very switched on. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I was about to start swearing in a jokingly manner, but I was just like, no, we won't go down that way. Like, you know, he knows his stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
It's interesting. So people do damage because they're really good, but we don't, you know, they struggle to do the damage, but I guess the Far Kami really
I think that. Master Po as well, he's actually one of the
Po's immune to prone. Yeah, and I was like, oh cool, I'm gonna sweep attack him with Nico, and then was it sweep attack? Yeah, I was like, yeah, tried to fight him and get rid of him, and then I was just like, and then he's like, oh yeah, he's immune to prone. I'm like, oh, like that's tough. But, you know, that being said, like I had my durable guy holding my zone and, you know, taking as much damage as possible and like just a scratching to make sure like Rio is okay. And Poe is really hard to get rid of. I find a lot of the Temple Masters, whenever I play against them, they're pretty tough. In fact, but Poe, he's definitely a beast for such a big model.
Definitely.
And in a zone scoring game for 25 rice, you know, it's, you know, you have to get something there. I think I had to sort of like choose to keep, like bring Nico into the fight to help support. So I ended up throwing I think right towards the end, my Fire Kami in his closest zone, so my furthest, I need it to secure it. Just that, you know, just get those points, and that's managed to tip the game after I sort of got him into combat. And Nico got into Master Po, exhausted him, and then Yuji just moved in and was like, get out of the ring, and just pushed him. And that was what clenched it. And he got some really bad dice rolls and I got some really good dice rolls. But, you know, I needed to win. But yeah, so third game was against the Ronin faction, and it was the Brotherhood with the Blood Brothers, and he took the Silvermoon character, Old Zod.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
That guy's tax ability is a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
especially when I'm like, oh, I want a half the damage here. I'll play just a scratch. He's like, nope. No, you're not.
Oh yeah, like, they can sort of stop you playing events, can't they?
Yeah. So he took a couple of those cards that made him do that, which was really good. General Zod's ability to go, oh, you want to spend key? You're gonna have to buff it or spend more than you normally would. That was a real pain in the butt as well. He also had in his list Drunken Master, I should say, and Eldest Brother, and them flanking on the sides. Was terrifying.
Yeah.
Second turn, you're like, oh god, there's an Oni, a big Oni that does a lot. Oh, sorry, not an Oni, and the lower level Oni, but it's Eldest Brother. He's been around for thousands of years.
Yeah,
and that model is, that model is tough.
Yeah, he's like, really good.
Yeah, he, for 18 rice, he's amazing.
Yeah, they're both rice efficient profiles. Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely rice efficient. And also, what he's got? He's got kata. He's amazing.
Kata and brito. Like, what's
yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Then eldest brother pretty much almost took down Tetsu with some bad dice rolls on my behalf. But I was like, I gotta. I gotta deal with this Oni. You know, and try to secure the objectives as much as possible. So I had Nico and Yuji run up to the right hand objective, influence the objective, and just sort of like and hold it there for a bit. And then his sort of powerhouse train of the Blood Brothers had to move around, you know, this big line of like of a building and a couple of trees and my rice bale barricade. So they to get to my right hand objective. Like was going to be nearly impossible. It was going to take them maybe three turns. So he struggled to do that. But then they, when they came into my left objective ring, they were pretty tough. I sort of, as I mentioned before, I was able to like hinder that line, and so he wasn't able to get all in base to base contact. So Rio had to sort of like step up and go, "Cool, I'm going to go up against you. I'm going to try to do as much damage to you." And he sort of like picked off a couple of the weaker brothers because it was that disturbance to his line worked in my favor, unfortunately. I think also it was a long day, and I think Jason had sort of like was a bit exhausted, and like, you know how the Blood Brothers have got a bunch of rules on their profile, so yeah. I think he was sort of a bit, you know, bit like, oh yeah. But yeah, it was a tough game. Drunken Master also scares me. Had to like get into combat with him and sort of like deal with him as much as possible. The whole time, my blacksmith is just sitting there going, "Don't come near me, please don't come near me." But yeah, so that ended up being 0-1 in my favor, and I'm just due to bad dice on his behalf and really good dice on my behalf, I unfortunately tabled him. So there wasn't any models left. So I really felt bad for Jason, but at the same time, like it was sort of when I knew that like this was it, this is like I've now won. I was sort of super excited, but I don't like seeing my opponent having a bad time. So I tried to muck around and make a joke of things, and we just sort of had a bit of a laugh at the end, which was pretty good. But he was a pretty good guy. He's also learning a lot as well. I think he's going to start Shiho, I think.
Oh, nice.
Or around the Wolves, I think he's going to be doing next. But, yeah, he's super excited to do those, from what I hear.
Fair play to him. I mean, taking Blood Brothers to the tournament, I think, it's an interesting choice because I think they can do really well, but it's risky in the sense of they can fall apart a bit if you start to lose a few of them, so you get a bit of bad luck. It's quite hard to come back from. So,
fair play to them
for taking it on. That's they are really good. I just always be worried about that kind of that sparring effect. If you, I find like if you've got three of them, they're a bit like they do better than you would think. Two's about kind of right, and when you get down to one, then you really
he's pretty useless.
you have one really quite poor summer, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I'm a friend of mine, a very handsome friend of mine, Joel, is toying around with that list with the Blood Brothers. I think he's trying to add some of the wolf guys from Shiho into those as well, actually. And so I was very fortunate enough to have a couple of games with him before, so I kind of knew like what they could do and what and where to sort of aim my
because they can do a lot of unusual stuff, and
When I first saw them, and that he was like, "Okay, cool, they're going to move," and then they get this extra activation, and then move again. Just that, that
chain sort of activations as well. That's all, and they get magic up bows, and they're quite flexible actually.
Yeah, it's quite intimidating to see how quick they go, and especially for me with movement 4, I was like, "Oh god, do that." I just know that you got to aim for their little priest that their three wing dude. And take him out, and then you will be able to sort of negate some of their effects. which is pretty good. And if someone ever forgets to remove a death sentence marker, yeah, just you got to pounce on that quickly.
Great. Well, it's quite a complicated scenario, that one, but it sounds like it didn't cause you any real issues because it was mostly about the fighting. But did you like turn the center idle, or did you?
So I got the center objective as well. But like I sort of managed to get that sort of at the end. It was sort of like after, you know, you had sort of like chewed through all of his models, I was like, okay, I'll move over and I'll get this objective as well. But like it was, I think my blacksmith ran over and just was like, influence, thank you, and sort of did that. Pretty much that's all that Huru did. Like he did a couple of times where he sort of removed sort of like poison and mess or stuff. But like pretty much all games, he was like, I'm going to move to this location, sit here, hold it or influence it and do as much as possible. Because that's basically all I did with him for three games. I find if you manage to kill your opponent quick enough, they can't do scenario actions. So that works in your favor.
Well, congratulations on winning the event.
It was good to get out there and do that and take the. So I live in Newcastle, so I was able to take the fight to some of the Sydney guys, and that was a bit of fun to have.
Nice. Are they wanting you back next year to defend your title, or?
I don't know if Bashir is going to be run at CanCon again. Was that for next year? I don't know. I really hope it would be. I've sort of spoken to Jason Enos, and so said like Australia should get a Grand Masters, and he jokingly said like yes, they definitely should, and asked like what was probably our biggest event. So I mentioned CanCon to him as well. He's probably sick of seeing my name on Messenger. I do apologize to him, but I know I can be excitable and I can be very chatty, as you guys have probably figured out.
That's all good. That would be cool. And why not? If you've got the numbers, it makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah, I do know. So I've spoken to the tournament organizer Anthony, and I've said like, look, we could potentially do a Grandmasters next year, and I think he wants to hold it at Combat Company, which is sort of that's sort of Australia's largest online miniature sort of. Sort of website. They also have a warehouse in Sydney, and they hold events not only 40K, everything really, including Magic the Gathering and stuff. So they always are willing to throw on an event. So I think that's where, if we were to do a Masters, if Master Enos would be so kind to let us do that, that's probably where we'll end up holding it. So that'll be a lot of fun.
It's really encouraging. Good to hear that you're getting good numbers going to these events. It seems like quite a few keep popping up. I see, because I always get like, I always see like Newcastle and go, oh, that's interesting. It's like, oh no, not Newcastle.
Not that one.
Okay, I won't go to that then.
it's really funny. I do the exact same. I go, oh wow, someone's holding this in Newcastle. Oh no, wrong one.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good to hear that you're getting there's quite a few events going on.
It's good. My gaming group, we hold like a monthly sort of event at our RSL at Gallipoli Legions club, and like the Bushido guys are quite we're actually growing. I mean, last one we had, there was about eight of us. doesn't sound like a lot, but like, you know, compared to some of the other games that were there, that's quite a lot of people. But our community is growing, which is really super exciting. I love like playing games and teaching people. So I managed to show last event a couple of guys how to play. So Bashir just gave them sort of the basics of like how to move, how to do what an activation is, like how combat is worked out. Just anything to grow the Bushido community.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we're getting a few more tournaments popping up as well. So people being able to get together a bit more. it's good to see some actual games getting played.
Just gets you more games in a day, doesn't it?
And yeah.
Like, gives you that
luxury
to get them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I've been like listening to your guys sort of stuff, talking about like, what you guys have been playing and the other guys coming on and doing, going to like Grandmasters and stuff like that. It's always been really sort of interesting to listen to.
So well, you've been to another tournament that you can probably recap on soon.
It'd be nice to get to a stage where it's starting to get to a stage where it feels like people want to do it on a regular basis. So it's just good to get the games in, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And actually play. Yeah, there's nothing quite like experience. Basically, what we were saying earlier is like nothing beats actual experience of gaming in different oppositions and different scenarios. Yeah,
getting off table, top simulator.
Playing
it in the real life. And,
in real life games.
Yeah. I'm glad at least over lockdown I did actually paint all my stuff that I was playing on tabletop simulator. Yeah. So I'm so glad I did that because it would be easy not to. And then you know.
I've sort of set myself a goal with my gaming group, and I said, look, what I want to do is I want to have all my Bushido models painted. So, I mean, I just got the big boy bear. Like, he just arrived in the post, like, the other day. So he's the only unpainted Minamoto model I now own. Whereas if we had done this, let's say, for example, last week, I would have had a fully painted faction. I've got a fair few models to paint. I think I've got maybe, please don't look down on me, but I've got about maybe 60 models to paint for Bushido. That's for the rest of the year. But it was also my fault. The pre-orders got to me and I had to buy pretty much half of them.
That's all good. I think you said earlier you've got 8 factions, so you've got a lot of new models all the time coming in.
I got Ryu. I started Ito. I've got a bunch of the Ronin models. I've got Tengu. I've got a bunch of the Shiho. I got some temple models as well. I've bought into Bushido hard, and I've been bitten by the bug.
I think we've got all the factions now.
You've got all the factions.
Between the two of us. But anyway, that aside, that's a bit of a tangent. It's great to see Minamoto obviously doing quite well on the tournament scene at the moment. We'll see how, obviously doesn't mean they're the go-to thing or anything. I'm not going to like draw in too many conclusions, but they're obviously doing well.
They're very forgiving. That's their trait. They're very forgiving. They've got strong armor. They can do, you don't have great movement, but like the fact that like when your opponent's, going to do the big hurt on you, you've got armor, you've got things like Justice Scratch to negate it. I would say they're a very good beginner faction to play, but also the fact is like they're so super forgiving. That's their strength.
We've seen a pretty good mix of factions at events, and it sounds like you had a good mix as well. And I think that's good because you go there, you're not facing the same faction like 3 times in a row.
And even when the different good mix, the factions that I've seen the list. The ones that I have seen the list for, they were quite diverse as well. It wasn't like just one archetype. I think at the Masters, it was pretty much like 2 or 3 of every faction. Pretty even.
Pretty good distribution,
I saw that on the Facebook. There was a bit of a mix, a fair even mix of like the factions. It was good to see Minamoto come out on top. I think... and also there was a fair amount of temple players as well, from my understanding. Temple are quite good as well, I think.
So it sounds like you played into some pretty competitive lists as well, to be honest. So the Fark Army and Hiroto and Owen's brother, they're all kind of up there in terms of like what people like to say for competitive events. So, it sounds like it was quite friendly, it's not like people were trying to win.
I think this I think also the Sydney crowd were like, there's one of the Newcastle guys coming down. We got to defend our title because, you know, previously we went to a tournament held in Combat Company and there were three guys from Newcastle and we came first, second and third.
All right.
So I think the Sydney guys were a bit miffed there, but I don't know.
That's good. Good to have a bit of rivalry going.
Yeah, it's true. It's Sydney and Newcastle have a bit of a rivalry going. It's always happening.
Cool. All right then. Well, I guess we'll call it there then. But yeah, thanks very much for coming on and going through your list. It's been really cool and great to hear a bit more about the games as well. Yeah, thanks very much for that.
No worries, guys. Thank you very much for having me. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot. And I hope you speak again soon.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Cool.